that constantly, and that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. You know, what you just read, you know, it's when we look back at Christianity, the development of it, they say 2020 vision, 2020, hindsight is 2020. And looking back, it's so obvious what's going to happen. But at the time, the Christianity was chaotic. Jesus was not the first rebel in Judea. As I've spoken about before, the Jews had a long history of rebellion, which is, hard to do against the Roman Empire. The Romans, once they conquered a place, as long as you paid your taxes, were pretty lenient about a lot of things. You want to worship your gods, you want to have your king, that's fine, just make sure the money's in the bag. But if you tried to rebel or throw off the status quo, they would literally till the soil with salt, they would burn, and they destroyed Judea so completely that it wasn't until after World War II that there was anything even resembling a state of Israel. And so there was constantly these upstarts, and the high priest, Belial or whatever, is referring to that. And so the Pharisees are in a position of authority. They're the ones with the money, the houses, the power, the prestige. When they walk into the temple, other people are taking their hats off and bowing that. And they want to keep that. They want to maintain that. They have to make their Roman masters happy. Right? So they're in a weird position. They're between a rock and a hard place. Because if they sell out completely to the Romans, then some zealot is going to stab them in the marketplace. However, if they go along with the rebellious movement, then the Romans will just kill everyone. So that's why the Pharisees are constantly on Jesus, constantly trying to discredit him, constantly trying to shush him up, because they're worried that if he starts... When I was up in Astro Camp, I said, listen, there's freshness and beauty sleep. Lots of them. If you want, Miss Wanda was with the girls, so I don't know what happened with that. But the boys, I said, if you want to stay up late and talk about who you have a crush on, I'm not going to stop you. However, if you get loud and I got to get out of my sleeping bag to come down, you will rue the day. Okay, so... And I'll just come in and smoke. Everybody in this room just gets all trouble, all punished. I'm not going to take it down to the crime lab and dust the phone for Prince to see. We all get, so you got to keep it down. Similar idea with the Romans, right? They're not going to come down and find who's doing what. Everybody gets crucified. And that's how they handle things. So the Pharisees are in that scenario. And you can see their motivation when they're trying to crucify Jesus, when they're trying to stamp out early Christianity. It's they want to keep their position, right? Don't rock the boat, or they'll lose all their stuff. Right? They have much more to lose. But it's clear that the early Christians believe that the end of the world is nigh. They're like the people with the cardboard standing out in Times Square. The end of the world is here. Right? Peter and Paul and the rest of them fervently believed. They just couldn't get it in their head, right? Jesus is talking about how his kingdom is not here on earth. It's the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual thing. It's a peaceful kingdom. They don't get it while he's on earth. Then when he goes to heaven, they still don't get it. They're struggling. They can't understand, right? When he's here, where I'm going, you cannot go. Where are you going, Lord? We can come. We can go. They're expecting this kingdom. They're arguing about who's going to be the first in command. Then after everything, Jesus is crucified. He goes into the tomb. He comes back. He appears to all these people. He says, spread the gospel. And then he goes up, and they're still believing. He's going to be back here any day. We've got to sell all of our stuff. We've got to get our stuff together because he's coming back, and he's going to get the kingdom. Right? their preconceived notions of what the end of times looked like, they were going to place on the King of Kings. Did that make sense? And I feel like we still, all of us, the church most of all, still does this thing where we have ideas of what heaven is like, what salvation is like, what hell is like, and we place these ideas and then try and fit the square peg into the round hole. When I ask the kids, what is heaven? Like, oh, there's clouds and there's angels with the hearts, right? Where did you get this idea? Right? If it's up in the clouds, there'd be 737s flying through it. Your idea of heaven, Takis and Fortnite, is literally my mother's idea of heaven. Video games and junk food for all eternity. Mom just got right around. Send me in. Our human notions of God's purpose are incongruous at best. And I try to remind myself, and it gives me peace, because I know that God is there. I know that He loves me. And that's the firm foundation upon which I built my life. All else is sinking sand. So sometimes I can think, but how could somebody so go, and how could, how will, how? The very notion that 40 years of life is enough to be able to conceive the plans of a deity that existed before there was time or space is the height of hubris. So, if you are going through your daily life and you feel the fear of uncertainty, you feel the fear that maybe there is none, maybe this is all there is, you feel the fear of what could possibly happen next, remember the firm foundation. God loves you, and I love you. That's the way to be God. Hallelujah. Anything else, any other morsels of knowledge that we gain, any other wisdom that we attain, that's just the hot fudge and the whipped cream. And I feel like the devil constantly gets everybody to focus on their differences rather than their similarities. That's kind of what I want to talk about today, is the commonality that all humans have. The 5th century BC is often thought of as like the divine awakening that humans have. The 5th century BC is, as far as we can tell archaeologically, that's when Abraham is doing his thing in Judea. That's also when Gautama, aka the Buddha, is doing his thing in India. And there's Confucius is in China. For some reason, about 500 years before Jesus was born, that's when you have the beginnings of many of our major religions. Before then, you have kind of paganism, this idea of polytheism, right? There's the god of the sea, the god of the sky, the god of wine, the god of love, the god of war. And that continues, but right around 500 BC is when people start to change perspective. But before even that, somewhere around 2,000 years ago, so some of the earliest known religion that we know of, is a religion in Persia, today modern Iran, called Zoroastrianism. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. But Zoroastrianism is the first monotheistic religion in that there's one god, not many gods. It's called Zoroastrianism because the first guy that we know who was preaching about it a couple hundred years later was a guy named Zoroaster. It's funny, your mom and I were going to name you Zoroaster. I was like, I don't know, Zoroaster's in the so we won't pay him. But Zoroaster is the priest, and he preaches the dual nature of everything. There's good and bad. There's the opposites. So, according to Zoroaster, there's the divine being that created all things, and that being is good. And he's only good. He can't do that. He can only do good. And his name is Ahura Mazda. And he creates all things with divine words. He speaks them into existence. But, of course, once you have the thing that is good, I had to look it up because I didn't want to forget it, you have his opposite. And his name is Ahriman. And he is, so if Ahura Mazda is good and order and laws, Ahriman is the opposite. He's chaos, he's destruction, he's death, he's the bad guy. He's Sauron in the Lord of the Rings manga. And these two are fighting for the souls of men. That sounds very familiar to me as a Christian, right? I remember hearing that when God created all things, there was the three archangels, or four archangels maybe at the time. I can't remember. I think there was three. It was Gabriel, Michael, and then Lucifer, right? And Lucifer, the angel of light, Gabriel is the messenger of God, Michael is the warrior, and then Lucifer is the angel of light. And he tries to put himself above God in our story. And, of course, God can't have an angel be above him. And so there's war in heaven. And Lucifer is cast down, right? And he takes with him a third of all angels. And those become the devils. So you have the forces of good and the forces of bad. And they fight each other for the souls of men and women. Sorry, guys. And those who are righteous go to heaven, and those who are sinful go to hell. Similarly, with Zoroastrianism, those who are righteous have paradise, and those who do not suffer torments. If you can't even imagine the worst. Mom has to play Fortnite for infinity. She hates it every second. The reason that I say this is because I believe firmly that God created all of us with an inborn knowledge. The Bible says that I will write my law on their hearts. My word will be on their hearts, and my law will be on their minds. We know from a very young age the difference between right and wrong. We know it because God created us with that knowledge. There's no child who doesn't know that lying is wrong. That's why they're so bad at it. Those of you who have children can see if your child is misbehaving. They know what they're... Maybe they have ulterior motives. They want another cookie, or they want to stay up past their bedtime. They are trying to convince you to buy them the new phone. Whatever it might be, they understand the difference between right and wrong. And that's why if you look at every religion throughout history, the religions say, don't lie, tell the truth, right? Give to the poor. There's no religion that says, yeah, you should kill everybody and lie all the time. Because we know that that's the heart of it. Jesus says, the good tree only produces good fruit, and the bad tree only produces bad fruit. So whether it's Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, they all preach relatively the same basic tenets. Because God created us with that knowledge. I'm a Christian who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I disagree with Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, and Shinto monks in Japan on that concept. But on nearly everything else, I bet we could agree. Should we give to the poor? Yes, you should be charitable. Should we love our neighbors? Yes, you should be a loving person. Should we lie to our neighbors? No, you shouldn't lie. Because God created us with that knowledge. It's only as we grow older and the devil clouds our minds that we begin noticing the differences. And he uses those differences to divide us. If you raised two children, had them playing out in the field, in the playground, young kindergarten children, without any biases from their parents, they would not look at each other's differences. It's only when they learn them as they get older. He's been using our differences from time immemorial to divide us. God is good, and he wants good things for us. Everyone knows this. And yet we spend so much time and energy and violence arguing over the little things. Communion is a metaphor. No, communion is actually the body of Christ. Catholics and Protestants murdered each other by the thousands over that one small question. And the entire time they're focused on the other person, they're not working on themselves. That's the lie. We gotta work on ourselves first. Constantly. It is a daily struggle for me. I tend to be an irritable person, Todd. I don't know why. I really wish if I had genes. First I would wish for more wishes, obviously, but then billions of dollars, and then to not be so irritable. My poor children have to deal with my, are you gonna be crunching those possessors? That's my struggle that I have to deal with every day, looking in, turning my eyes inside and looking at how I can do better. That daily struggle of looking inside and trying to improve myself. Does it matter if I convert a Muslim to Christianity? If I can't do anything for myself, how on earth could I ever convert anybody to anything? It's only through the daily prayer, the daily searching, the daily work that I improve as a person. And with my improvement comes all kinds of benefits. Peace of mind. Strength in my relationships. Health in my body. All of these things are added when I work at myself. The more that I stop, the more that I'm looking at every single person and all of their wrongdoings, I lose what I have gained. Constantly, constantly, constantly looking. But I would argue that not only is it not something to be avoided, it is the pinnacle of what we can do. Let me see if I can explain that a little bit better. I love teaching, but I don't get paid a lot. And so I have to work at Trader Joe's, supplement my income, which is cool because I like Trader Joe's. And I get 20% discount for it. And they're better than kicking the pants. You guys need it? Oh no. Talk to your boy. But what I get from teaching, in my mind, is just as valuable as currency. It's purpose. I have a student in my class, his name is Lee Anthony, he's in seventh grade with Paige. He doesn't like doing homework. And he didn't get to go on a Sacramento trip. And he's kind of in a tough place right now, and he and I have kind of bonded over basketball and things like that. And when we went to pastor camp, it was the first time he had been on a trip outside of the city without his family. And he was absolutely loving it. Loving every second of it. And on our last day, the girls went on Thursday, we went on Friday. There's an event called the Sky Coaster. And the Sky Coaster is this big rope swing that lifts you up, like way up, almost to the top of the rafters, where Cirque du Soleil stuff is. And it's kind of a metaphor, because the ropes are hooked up to the rest of the students who pull, you pull up your friend, right? And then when they get up to the top, or wherever they would like to stop, you pull the ripcord and then you swing. And I recorded every one of them, and I encouraged them. You know, like, it's gonna be scary, this is new, blah, 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 blah. This is what life's about, you know. Fear is gonna try and take you, but you overcome, you dig deep, you pray for guidance, and you overcome. And some of them didn't listen. Some of them did, and overall we had a wonderful time. And at the end, he sent me this very nice text that made me, it's so easy for me to gripe about being tired, or about being broke, or about being any number of things. But the edification that I get from moments like that is valuable to me. Not everybody has that opportunity, but we all have the same purpose-driven questions. What is the meaning of life? What am I supposed to do while I am here? Am I supposed to make a lot of money? That's good, that can be helpful. There's nothing wrong with money. Am I supposed to be a good father, a good mother, a good citizen, a good... I would argue that the meaning of life is to love your neighbor. Because in that, loving your neighbor is hard. Whether it's a student that you have, a coworker that you have, or a family member that you have. Loving your neighbor is difficult because of all of the annoying things we all do. The devil will once again try to cause us to see all of the wrong things, whether it's dividing us on our politics or religion, or just dividing us by looking at how loudly Aiden crunches chips. He will cause you to look at all of the things that other people are doing wrong. But with perseverance and prayer, looking inside yourself, you can grow to love your neighbor. And in so doing, you will get that same feeling that I got from the text. Did I make that connection, Ash? My brother-in-law, Chuck, is a number one stunner. I love and respect him more than I could ever tell you guys. And he is very smart, he's very concise, he's planned, and he's used all of his God-given talents to do well in life, financially, his family. But one time we were talking about jobs or whatever, so I was like, oh man, and I was complaining, shocker. And he said to me, "Gabe, you know, you get something from your job that I don't get. You know, that feeling of doing something valuable." And in my snide self, I couldn't help it. I said, "You get something that I don't get too, Chuck. Money." But the devil can cause me to look at what I don't have and what somebody else has, and then I stop noticing the value that I have. But I would argue that Chuck has just as much. Because maybe he's not helping Lee Anthony, but the way that his daughters look at him, the way that his wife looks at him, the way that his brother-in-law looks at him. That's edifying. That's the meaning of life. If he was not the man that he was, I wouldn't look at him that way, and he wouldn't have that. The only way to get it is by working. When I was a young man, I didn't have it. because I was constantly thinking about everybody else. I was insecure and at the same time arrogant somehow. I was loud and braggadocious. I was selfish and immature. And the devil used those things to take from me. To take from me the respect of my peers and family. To take from me my money and job. To take from me the admiration of my children. And as long as I was looking at every single other thing that I was missing and that I deserved, I wasn't working on myself. As soon as I stopped, it's only been a few years, unfortunately. The more that I look inside myself, the more I work, the less that I want to take from other people and the more I want to give. And that giving builds up inside of me the very thing I've wanted this entire time. Peace, respect, happiness, joy. The respect of my children, the respect of my students, the respect of my siblings and parents. We got to look inside of ourselves. Humble ourselves. Love our fellow man. Not because we get a certificate, but because of the feeling that we get. Feeling that Ashley had that she spoke about earlier. Sometimes I get it even when I walk into church. The devil whispers lies to me. Right? Throwing this thing together, barely limping by. What are we even doing here? That's the lie. That is the lie. Everyone here has come for good meaning and purpose. And the love that we give brings us the feeling of purpose, of value, of peace. I cannot thank you enough for this. It is worth so much. I often, when I'm at Trader Joe's, and I'm working with all of my, they're all much younger than I am. And they're all good people, but they're young. And so they're doing all the things that young people do, right? Going out and partying, drinking, smoking, doing whatever, right? I don't want to judge them. I want to love them. But what I do wish that I could communicate to them is that you're spending all of your time looking outside for gratification. And as cheesy as it may sound, it's inside. The whole time it's inside. The years that I spent looking for people and things that I could use for a temporary joy bankrupted me. Look inside yourself this week. Love your neighbor in spite of themselves, and you will get the thing that you seek. It's there. It's always been there. 2,000 years ago, Zoroaster knew it. Love your neighbor. Do not lie. Don't hate. Bear good fruit. On and on and on and on and on it goes, because it's written right here in our hearts every single day. And when we are honest with ourselves and look inside diligently, we see it. We see it. Any person with an ounce of integrity, if you ask them, should you love your neighbor or hate them, will say, I love you, my neighbor. Doesn't matter where they come from, what language they speak, what religion they subscribe to. We all know it because he's written it. It's encoded in our DNA. We're lion. So we divide and we separate. Republicans, Democrats, Cowboy fans, Chiefs fans, black, white. And it all just goes to nothing. It all goes to nothing. And we're left wondering, what's even the point? We can't see the forest for the trees. The beauty, the goodness, the opportunity that we all have, that we wake up to every morning. Instead, I'll think about how much money I get paid or how the kids didn't do their homework. You see, it's there. The kingdom of heaven is spread out before you. If we have eyes to see, ears to hear, the truth that we all know. Worry about yourself. Work on yourself. The Buddhists call it meditation. Most of the rest of us call it prayer. I pray for guidance. And the more that I do, the more that I get. And the more that I get, the more that I want. And it is good. It's good, it's been good, and it will be good. The Pharisees said it 1900 years ago, when Peter and Paul and the rest of them, if it's of man, it will die with him. And if it's divine, nothing you can do to stop it. We don't have to worry about what we're doing here. We do what we do with good hearts and good intentions. And if it's of God, nothing can stop it. And if it's not, then we gotta keep on looking. But I believe that it is. I believe that it is because when I'm here, I check with what I'm doing with what's on my heart, and it comes back. That's right, Kate. When any time for slice that I might be speaking truth, you'll know it. Because what's written here is written there. And if I'm talking a bunch of nonsense, then you'll know that too. Because we all have the same code. Everywhere, at all times. From now until Jesus comes back. And I'm going to spend every second that I got being the best man I can be. Even the Beatles knew it. There was possible music. Just out of the Beatles. All you need is love. The more you give, the more you will get. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. It is good. It's good because of its offer, it's good. Think about my father, and I'm sitting back, so cynical because I was listening to the lion, couldn't see the forest for the trees, but I'm still here, and so I can still have purpose, because God loves you, and I love you, and that is the way it should be. Have a blessed week this week. Have a blessed week in your career, in your school, in your relationships. Every morning that you look in the mirror, if you think a negative thought, that is of the devil. That is not of Ahura Mazda, of Jesus Christ, of God, the author of good. And any time that the devil lies to you, and you are feeling some negative emotion, stop and pray and remember who you are. Good made by good. And the more that we can put it out there, the more that we get. Nobody, when they're loving and kind, thinks, what are we even doing? Moments of weakness give way to moments of triumph as long as we work on ourselves. Be blessed and encouraged this week. Be blessed and encouraged this week. Be blessed and encouraged this week. And pray for me. Pray that I'll have a little more patience. Pray that I'll have a little less cynicism. Pray for me, and I'm going to work on me. And we'll grow together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Lord, we know you're the author of good. You always have been. You always will be. The Bible says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord. Help us to see that. Help us to remember that. Remind us daily, Lord. Remind us of who you are and who we can be. Give us strength, Lord. Give us courage. Give us integrity and purpose. Guide us every day. Help us to love those around us. Help us to love ourselves and remember who we are. Your children, created in your image, with your word, bind the devil back from us. Rebuke him. Keep him away from us. Help us to ignore the lies and remember the truth, the simple truth, that you are love. Thank you for today. Thank you for these people and this place. Encourage us in Jesus' name.